Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest Kings of Anglia podcast special, the series where I catch up with former Town players to talk about their time at Town, their career as a whole and how they're doing now. And I'm here with Mark Brennan. Mark, it's a pleasure to be joined by you. How's things?
Not too bad. Well, I can't say that actually, I'd be lying. Health-wise.
Yeah, would you like to go into that? Obviously, we're getting deep really straight away, but what's been going on?
Again, it's probably down to heading the football. It's MCI, mild cognitive impairment, which then leads to dementia. So, makes life a little bit difficult at the moment.
Yeah, I can imagine. And where are we speaking to you now from then? Are you sort of back up north or are you still in the local area?
Essex.
Essex, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that where you just, that's like where you settled after you start, you know, finished playing?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why. Why did I settle here? I'll try and ask my partner, but she don't know. Yeah, I just decided to settle in. I don't know why.
That's okay. Obviously, yeah, you're born in Lancashire. Can you remember your early life and your memories of football up there, up the north?
Yes, school-wise. From junior school, primary school, and then grammar school. And then left up there at 16 to go to Ipswich.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a big move for you, as you know, a young lad moving to maybe a place. Did you know much about Suffolk?
No. Yeah. No, I knew what it was. That's about it. But the reason being I did it, because my dad was an ex-professional as well. And he told me the best place to go to would be Ipswich because of Sir Bobby, God bless him. Because you're getting the first team quicker. And he was right. 18 months later, I'm in the first team.
Yeah, which is incredible. And did you play for any other clubs prior to that, you know, up in near Lancashire?
And No. I just left grammar school, straight to Ipswich.
Okay. How did that come about then? Who sort of scouted you? Was just a move that just came about?
Obviously, you play for your school, your county, things like that, and you don't know who's watching these days. Well, back in them days as well, you don't know who's watching. And I've just got informed that Ipswich were interested.
That's incredible. And sort of going back to obviously early onset dementia, you know, is that something you just you were just thinking you couldn't remember stuff, you know, short term stuff like that? Is it just something that you just went to the doctors about? And obviously, it's a big trend, you know, unfortunately, with, you know, from your era. Is it something you just wanted to check up?
No, I just normally my mind's quite good remembering stuff, but just daily stuff. I can walk from where we are now, the lounge, into the kitchen, and I forget where I'm now. So it's mainly short term. Okay. But as you can expect, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, because obviously just bringing that memory up straight away about, you know, early life, how you got scouted by Town and moving down as a 16-year-old, you know, that's great that you still got that. And obviously, there's a lot of, you know, science going into it now, and you know, you hear so many stories about it, which is a shame. But yeah, it's great to have you on, Mark. And we'll get onto that a little bit more later on in the show. But so yeah, you moved down to Suffolk, coming, you know, joined the youth team. What's your memories of that? You know, coming down, it's a long way to travel. And obviously back then, you know, it's you know, you've got trains, obviously, you know, cars, everything, but, you know, mobile phones weren't about then and stuff like that. Yeah. Obviously, there was, you know, maybe car phones, maybe not even then. But
No car phones.
No. So what? How does that sort of, in terms of, you know, agreement to come down and trying to, you know, organise all that?
A lot of it was down to my parents.
Yeah.
Because my dad, like I said, he was an ex-footballer and he just had the passion for the game like I do. And my mum just got dragged along, basically.
Yeah.
And she's admitted that. She said, yeah, I just had to do it. So.
But. That's good. And, yeah, obviously, come to town, Ipswich Town. Obviously, at that point, you know, we were a very good team. You know, UEFA Cup winning team under Bobby. Yeah. Some absolute superstars. You know, most of the England team was Ipswich Town. Yeah. I'm sure you were just, you know, that a big moment for you, like going to a club that, you know, was on a high.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like you just said, 82 I joined. You had all of them. Gatesy, Maras, Alan Brazil, George Burley, all of them. Butch and Ozzy, Walkie, of all people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were a good team.
Yeah, very good team. And so Bobby obviously left to go to England. Did you have any interaction with him?
In an informal way, going to the... I used to travel down on a Friday, miss school, and then play for the youth team on a Saturday. And then Sir Bobby, I think it was 82. Yeah, it was 82 when I went down there. And Sir Bobby used to come and watch the youth team in the morning before the first team would play in the afternoon. So, yeah, got a little bit of interaction with him.
What was that like for you settling in Suffolk, you know, coming from such a far away as well?
I found it quite easy because the players you're talking about, I think most of them were, shall we say, homegrown from Ipswich, not particularly from the area, but from the club itself. And they just made you feel so welcome. It's quite easy to settle, even being away from home.
So did you go into a Diggs back then?
Yes. Two or three digs. Not for my misfortune or anything like that. But no, they just swapped around every now and again. So that was entertaining.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, obviously, like for anybody, you know, just moving away from home is a big thing. Did you get homesick at all? Or are you just, obviously, you're playing?
No, because the ladies that and gentlemen that took me in, they were very understanding and just easy to get on with. And it just made life quite easy, to tell you the truth. So that obviously helps you with the settling in basis.
Of course. And obviously, back then in that era as well, you had to like maybe clean boots, do jobs. You know, can you remember to do and, you know, which sort of first team players you had to sort of look after?
Yeah. Well, I did the boots, funny enough, I should mention that, which was quite rewarding because they'd all come in every day and tell you what boots they want and match days, you'd have to make sure they're all dry and ready. But then again, you interact with them more because they're coming in to see me daily, not me personally, but to come in the boot room. So that was quite good. Not a bad job to have to start with, look after their boots.
Yeah. Any players in particular who maybe gave you some good tips or anything like that?
Well, as in monetary?
Yeah.
They all did, to be fair. Yeah. They're just a great set of lads. Brilliant. They'd all come in, they all have their different demeanours and things like that. But after a while, you got to know them and you got to know their way of thinking and their sarcasm.
Yes. Because obviously the dressing room, it can be brutal. And obviously you went into the dressing room pretty quickly, obviously making a breakthrough. Bobby Ferguson obviously became manager. What, you know, relationship with him, and obviously he's the man who gave you your debut as well.
Yeah, very good with Bobby. He obviously working under Sir Bobby, he tried to follow everything on from not just from Sir Bobby, but from actually about the football club, the way they played. And that is one of the reasons I left, because a certain manager came in and I didn't like the way he played. So I thought I'm moving. So that was 87, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, because obviously you play a lot of your football mainly under Bobby Ferguson. And his manner gave you a debut, debut against QPR. 18 years of age, I think you were. You know, that's a
good just game. Gone. Can you stress that? Just gone 18.
Yeah. Which November. Is. And in the first division as well, you're in the top flight of English football. That's a big moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, a bit nervous, but it's nothing better than that.
Definitely. Did you get told? You know, obviously then as well. I think we maybe had one sub. So, did you get told you're going to be you're involved a little bit? You know, with the first team, but you obviously hadn't made your debut yet. But did you get?
Maybe the Monday. I don't know whether the game was on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, but maybe the Monday after the weekend before, I was invited. It's not the right word really. Asked to play with the train with the first team. And then Bobby told me I was going to be on a bench.
And obviously you go on to make the debut. And then was it four games in, maybe your fourth game, you scored against Coventry? That must have been, you know, an incredible moment for you. Still 18, just turned 18, and you're scoring in your fourth game.
Oh, yeah. That was Paul Mariner was up front. So I remember that, getting to the near post and just side-footing it in. Can't remember who crossed it. Probably George. Yeah. But it was on the floor, so I just tapped it in. Sounds simple, doesn't it?
It does. Very simple. And funny enough, I've asked a few people to share their memories of yourself, you know, playing for the club. And let me quickly get one up. And it was one, it's actually about that game, because what are your memories of that game? You know, your first goal for the club. Is also Paul Mariner's last goal for Ipswich as well in that game.
Yeah.
And obviously Jason Dizel went on to become the
youngest. Just about to say that, yeah.
Yeah. I think you just broke the record in that game to be the youngest goal scorer for Ipswich. And then obviously he then goes and does it, come off the bench and scores.
Yeah. Cheers, Jack.
Yeah. But that was obviously a big moment for Jason, but for you as well to score, you know, at Portman Road and, you know, a good start for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And my parents were there. Yeah. Like I said, they used to travel everywhere. So I was even better because they were there.
That's good. I want to apologise for the listeners. There's a drilling outside. I've got, you know, builders. Can you hear it? Okay, that's
fine. No, we're fine.
That's fine. That's brilliant then. I'm just making sure because I can hear it. It's hurting my ears, but it is what it is. But it was a 3-1 win against Coventry. So a good start for you. You know, four games in, got a goal, making appearances. You went on to play in wins against Liverpool and Man United at Old Trafford and Anfield. Just bring us back your memories of that, you know, first breaking through and, you know, playing with that sort of first team and a team, you know, that, okay, yeah, the old guard was just about departing, but you were obviously breaking through and, you know, playing those games.
Yeah, there's still a few there. George, Ozzy, Butch. Yeah, there's quite a few still there for the next couple of years. And then obviously you had the younger ones coming through, Trevor Putney, Kevin O'Callaghan. So it was, it was good.
It's good. And obviously the next season, you became a regular. I'm looking now on the stats, you know, 36 games in the league. So, 19, you're probably at this stage, and you're playing week in, week out. And there's one goal you scored at White Hart Lane against Tottenham in a 3-2 win. So, you know, you established yourself in the first team. You're still in the top flight as well. That must have been good for you.
Oh, yeah. If I remember, that Tottenham goal was a tap-in, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, just a side foot, but it's a goal. So, yeah, it was great. Couldn't have asked for anything better, even though, like I said before, you're leaving home at 16 and you're in the first team, which obviously helps, and you've got nice digs where you're staying, people looking after you. So, no, it's good.
It's good. And I'm going to go back to this message. This is from Cole Fuller, who just sort of said, Jason Dizel become the youngest goal scorer. Did you feel overshadowed by that somewhat or anything like that? Or you just felt, you know, it's just a moment and that's happened?
No, it's a team game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And with Jason scoring after me, 3-1 up, you've won the game. So that's all that mattered, really. And obviously, Mara's, like you said, was his last goal. My first and Jason's first. Not bad for a 16-year-old, was it?
No. And obviously, I think that record still stands in terms of the youngest goal scorer in the top flight. Yeah. I don't think no one's. I don't know if anyone's ever going to beat that, because there's a few people who have made their debut at like 15, you know, 300 plus days. But in terms of scoring, I don't know if it will ever be broken. But you never know. We shall see. But yeah, Carl just mentioned Mark was one of my favourite Itchers players in that era. So really good question there from Carl. And yeah, obviously, then there's also a disappointing moment in the League Cup against those up the road, the semi-final defeat in the, you know,
yes, that,
those games, you know, disappointing to lose against the rivals. And of course, they went on to bloody win it, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we beat them at home first, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think Mish Davray scored, from what I can recall. And then we had to go up to Carrow Road. So that was very disappointing. Like you said, especially against them.
Yeah. And did you always look forward to those sort of derbies? I know you haven't got that sort of, you know, connection in terms of being born in the area, but obviously you probably got told that, oh yeah, derby games, they're big games, you know, you always want to get one over, you know, the rival.
Yeah, definitely. Again, it's 3 points, so for this, in this case, it was getting to a cup final for your club. And and you get that bit more intense because of the rivalry, Suffolk and Norfolk. So that's what the fans love it as well. But unfortunately, we didn't succeed.
And I've got a random, this is a rogue note I've made on my screen here. And it's, can you remember playing against the Iraq National 11? Can you remember playing against Iraq?
Yes.
Yeah. That was,
yeah.
When I was going through the stats and games, I just saw you played against Iraq National 11. That, you know, that was an interesting time. Let me quickly bring up when it was. I think you played two games, but yeah, what was that,
it was
like?
Back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Is it 83?
I think
Butch,
so, yeah.
Maras, maybe not Maras, Russell Osman, all them guys. Yeah, we went through, it was all right, Iraq back then.
Yeah, it's before, obviously, the war, yeah, and everything like that. But you know, when I saw that, I just thought it was a little intriguing thing that I saw on there, which was interesting. And obviously, you go on to play for England's under-21s level. That must have been an honour for you to play for your country.
Oh, yeah. Well, who wouldn't it be? I think I made two games for the under-18s to start with. Then the other seven were for the 21s. So, as you can expect, it's kind of your pinnacle. But obviously, it wasn't the first team, but it was a step to the first team of England.
So, yeah, it must be nice just to wear, you know, the England shirt. You know, you see other different players, oh, yeah, do it, and you know, I'm sure, like all of us, you know, you follow England as well. England is your team, you know, for your country, and you know, mm-hmm, play for them at any level is, you know, an honour.
Yeah, and not just in football, cricket,
yeah,
any sport, just follow England. So. And, I've got my caps down there somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, actually. I was going to say, have you got anything to, you know, and stuff like that? That's great.
Yeah, they're on the telly, aren't they? James is trying to tell me I only got 6 caps.
Okay. Take one away from you. Unbelievable. That's okay.
Go and count them.
There you go. Go and count them quickly. So you get one, even for like under 21s, you get one as well. That's good.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if you know it, I think people think you get one for every game you play, but it's per competition.
Okay.
So if you play 3 games in a competition, you get them 3 teams you played against. So obviously the further you get, the more names you get put on your cap. I think I've only got one on each of mine.
No. Can you remember which games they were? Were you playing against, you know, any big countries?
Yugoslavia.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Back then? Okay. Turkey. James just pointed it out to me. Yeah. Turkey. Anyone? Russia?
Russia.
Yeah.
Spain.
Spain.
Oh, Spain would have been a big one.
Morocco. Morocco.
I like that. That's good. Thanks, Jane. Good work from you. Very good work. Playing for England's that youth level. Obviously, for town, we were struggling, and relegation, which is never good for a player to have it on your CV. But, you know, just at that point, yeah, just weren't good enough all the way.
No. But proof's in the table, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not as if it's a one-off game or anything. It's over how many games we had back then. Was it 42 back then?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, 42 games. So it's a long time, 9 months over that time. But, yeah, not good for the club. And players, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think sorry, carry on.
That's all right. That's when most of the big guys, they left. Well, Walkie was the standout when he went to Liverpool.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, and some of the other guys, they left as well. So,
did you feel, though, yourself, is that an opportunity for you to have sort of step up? Because you're still young at this stage. Obviously, you were playing week in, week out, but did you feel like, okay, it's my opportunity to really step up and become a senior player?
Yeah, because by this time, I don't know how many games I'd played, but I was in the squad every week, basically. And, yeah, you've got to step up because, as you well know, Ipswich was known for its bringing its youngsters through. So if somebody came into the team, you had to kind of look after them after me being looked after, like Maras and Alan Brazil, Butch. So, yeah.
Which sort of players were you really close to then? Obviously, it was a very tight group, but any players in particular you know you sort of roomed with or, you know, you were travel companions with?
I roomed with the Joker of the pack, Trevor Putney. And I sat next to Trevor, Kevin O'Callaghan and Mish. So I couldn't have asked for any better boys. But then you look to your right, you've got Terry Butcher, Russell Osmond, George Burley. So obviously it was a privilege.
Yeah, yeah, great group of lads. And obviously, it obviously did break up eventually, as you said, you know, players did go on to leave when we're in the second tier. Obviously, that season for you scored 7 league goals, I can see. You know, we lost in the playoffs against Cholton, so we weren't able to go straight back up. But yourself, you know, you're scoring goals. That must have been good. Is that something you wanted to add to your game as well? Because obviously you scored a few goals, you know, when you first won, but, you know, this time it was 7 in the league.
Again, it didn't really matter. Well, it did matter to me, scoring a goal, especially my parents were there, and the team with winning, obviously. But it didn't, if you know what I mean. As long as we did well, then all good for the club.
Yeah, which is a good thing. And yeah, losing in the playoffs is never good, but I think at the time maybe we weren't ready. And obviously, unfortunately, Bobby Ferguson got sacked. Can you sort of remember that? And, you know, a man that brought, you know, gave you a debut and played you so much, you know, I'm sure that was a disappointing day for you.
Yeah, like you say, he took on the mantle of Sir Bobby and he tried to run it as it had been run for quite a few years. So, yeah, that was a bit of a upheaval, shall we say. Because I think it was Mr. Duncan who came in.
Yeah, it was. And we'll get on to him shortly. I've got a few questions from some listeners. This is from Ian Wallbank. Question-wise, his favourite town goal, score some belters. Best I saw him score was against Plymouth at home on a Friday night. So any goals in particular for you that stand out?
I can't remember that Plymouth one. I'd say the one in the FA Cup away to Bristol Rovers from the halfway line.
Yeah.
I think it hit the crossbar, hit the keeper and then went in.
So the one that just happened recently, the Leighton Orient with Man City.
Yeah. Very much like that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I'll have to find some footage of that. I don't think I've seen it myself, I have to admit. Because I did say to Mark, this is probably my second question to him. I went, by the way, Mark, I didn't watch you play. And you went, thanks for that. That's a good start to this interview. obviously, I wasn't born when you played, but it's always good to speak to different players from different eras. Let's quickly look at some other. Now, this may be not a good memory, Mark, but this is from Alistair Rattray. Any memories of that penalty miss against Derby? Can you remember that penalty miss against Derby? I saw some footage of that recently, and yeah. Can you remember that at all?
No. I can't remember it.
Okay, let me try this. I'll find the video for you quickly and show you on the screen. And yeah.
Perhaps it's just my mind wants to forget it.
Yeah, because obviously recently a Town player called Ali Hamadi, who's a striker, he actually missed a penalty against Bristol Rovers in the FA Cup recently, and everyone was like debating which one has been the worst penalty miss, and sadly yours was brought up. So
she's cracking up here.
Yeah, to be fair, Jay, I'll have to send it to you, but I'll quickly see if I can show you on the screen. So let's quickly, if I can show you.
Cool, that was bad, wasn't it? Oh, it's miles away.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Ah, thanks for that, Roscoe.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. Yeah. Did you take many penalties during your time at the club? Did you? Was that just you just felt like, oh, I want to take this penalty, and unfortunately it was a miss?
Yeah, from Ipswich, it then progressed to Middlesbrough, Man City, and Oldham. So, yeah, most of the clubs I played for, well, all the clubs I played for, I took penalties. So
that was just one of the bad ones, unfortunately. But, yeah, I'm sorry to bring that up. But that
you
was
mean one of the bad ones?
Yeah, just one. Just one.
Is
just
there
one.
More bad ones?
I don't know. I'll have to ask. I'll have to see. That's fine. I've got a few more questions from this. This is from Steve Vanton. A very good player for us. I was at Everton when he hit both posts with a shot, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah, and I thought it was in. I thought it hit the first one and it was going to go in. But it's rolled across the line and hit the other post.
Wow. Yeah, that's when you want like goal line technology, don't you? Like, oh, come on, bring the ball over a bit more. No,
it didn't go in, Roscoe. It didn't go in.
Okay, that's a shame. That's a shame. This is from Lisa, who, this is an interesting one. She just went, I loved him and I named my budgie after him. So,
do you mind, Roscoe, saying that in front of my missus?
Yeah.
Because I'm never going to live this down.
So, yeah. So, Jane, this is a message from Lisa. I loved him and I named my budgie after him.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So, it's Lisa Gagin. Yeah. So, yeah, you've got, unfortunately, sadly, the budgie's probably not no longer with us anymore, but you've done a budgie named after you. So,
the full name, Mark Brennan, or just Mark?
Could have been Brennan, maybe.
Brennan,
maybe, some of that. Lisa, if you're listening, and you sent this message in, so let us know, and I'll let you know, Mark. But very good, Lisa. Love that. This is just from Ian, just sort of saying, excellent player. I really enjoyed watching him. Romeo and Trevor Putney play together. Also bring about Trevor Putney, actually. I've got another question. This is from also from Ian Warbank. Apart from Putney, who was the joker in the squad back then?
Oh. Well, you couldn't beat Putters. Nobody could beat him. He's East London Manor. No, nobody could beat Putters. All of them had their own different sarcastic ways about him, but Trevor was the main one.
That's good. This is from Matt Thomas. I'd like to know whether he looked on the far sale of players in the early mid-80s as an opportunity or negative effect his progress and our learning. Did you feel like, you know, seeing these big stars leave? We spoke about briefly a minute ago about, you know, an opportunity for you to, you know, become a senior player, but did you feel that was a negative view in terms of your progress and your learning? And obviously for the club, obviously you went on to get relegated and stuff like that.
Yeah, kind of took it on myself, but having started when I was just gone 18, I had quite a lot of experience. And then people who come in, like I said earlier, the elderly players helped me. So I just thought, I've got to do the same for them. So just took them under my wing, really.
Okay, that's good. This is from Farmer Piles, so just someone who's a farmer. Love watching Mark play for Town. Had hell of a shot on him. Gutted when he left, but he had a career to think of. Best player you played with during his time at Town and best player he's ever played up against. So, yeah, best player you played with at Town and best player you played against.
I don't want to upset people. they've all got different attributes. Paul Cooper, goalkeeper. Then you go through the back four. Butch, Ozzy, George Burley, Steve McColl, Walkie, Maris, Alan Brazil, Gatesy. There's too many. So I think I took a shine to Maris because he comes from Lancashire.
Of course.
God bless him. Yeah. So obviously it was the same area as I come from, up north. So, yeah, I looked up to Maris, I would have thought.
That's good. And then, you know, any players that stand out you played up against? Obviously, you know, you played in the top flight. There's some big names, I'm sure.
I think the obvious one is Glenn. Glenn Noddle. But again, there were so many. Sorry, Jane's trying to talk to me. I don't know what she's saying.
Remind you, that was all.
She said, remind me.
Yeah, it's good.
Because of my dementia.
Yeah. But obviously so many great players. And this is another question. This is also from Matt Thomas. And I don't know if I was going to ask this or not, or it's more of just a phrase, really. This is just a moment. This is my favourite player as a kid after Walkie, a left foot shot harder than 70s porn. So... So, you were known to have a really hard shot.
Yeah.
Is that just something you really practiced or was just a natural thing?
No, like I said, it was just natural. I was 10 in the 70s.
Yeah. So, yeah. But that's from Matt Thomas. And Alan Harris, he just said, I remember he could certainly hit the ball hard. I think a lot of people just remember you just being able just to hit that ball really, really hard. And there's a few goals you scored because it was so powerful the keeper had no chance.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, you know, at the time had something to do with the ball.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you remember, we used to play with the, as you say, Adidas or Adidas Tango.
I'm an Adidas man. Adidas is more like, I don't know, I think that's what they say in America or maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the proper word to say, but I'm an Adidas man. I just say Adidas. So.
Adidas, me too.
So
we had the Tango ball. I don't even remember it. The black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great to ping about.
Yeah, and obviously, it was a hard ball, though. So if anybody was trying to, you know, head of your balls, you know, those long shots, then dearie me, I'm sure they were hard ones. But we'll now mention, obviously, John Duncan, because he comes manager. And as you said, you know, maybe just not the right man for you to sort of continue at Town.
No, I wouldn't say they're not the right man, just the way style of football he wanted to play. And I didn't want that, to me, wasn't the Ipswich way. So I decided to leave. So.
Yeah, I will admit, like, obviously, a lot of players I've spoken to, or just even fans from that era when John came in, unfortunately, we just obviously weren't doing really well. The football wasn't enjoyable, and obviously a lot of fans just didn't like that at all. And obviously John would go on to leave eventually, and obviously John Lowell comes in, and obviously he brought, you know, success back to the football club. Was that, you know, a big moment for you though? You know, just to after, you know, become, you know, growing up as a man, you know, you became a man. You joined as a boy, and then you became a man.
Yeah, I think it was. Well, no, it was. It was 87. I left. What was I back in 87? 22. So, yeah, just like I said before, you get into the first team early and you kind of have to grow up. You're playing with someone like Terry Butcher behind you who let you know how you're doing. So, yeah, it just makes you grow up that little bit quicker. And, of course, you had to as well for the youngsters coming through, as you said yourself. The club was well known for youngsters bringing them through instead of going out paying. I think at the time it was a million or a million and a half the record. I think it was Robbo, Brian Robson.
Yeah.
something like that. So the club couldn't afford to do that. So they had to bring the youngsters through, and they weren't bad at it. So then obviously John came in and I didn't like it. So
yeah, but how do you look back at your overall spell at Town then? Did you meet Jane? Is that when you met Jane, or was that later on?
Later in life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say later on in my career.
Yeah.
I'd say later on in life.
Okay. That's fair enough. And where did you live in it? So you probably would left your gig, your digs eventually. And you know, whereabouts did you live in Suffolk?
Orchard Road. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I pulled that from. Yeah. Orchard Road. I can't remember which area it was. It was next to a big park. And there was a pub there. I remember that bit. Yeah, Orchard Road.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah, it was obviously a different era back then. Then, you know, a lot of players did go to the pub and you could have a few points, maybe a bit more than that. But that was just the era at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But like you just said, that's the way it was back then. You'd on an away trip, we'd get on the bus back. So you got a 3-hour coach journey. You'd have fridges at the back. I don't know if you remember the old bus coach.
Mm-hmm.
It was split into two compartments. Staff at the front, players with all the food and the fridges at the back. So on the way back, the fridges would be full up with beer. But that was the way it was then.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, really, football is, you know, is a gentleman's game, and it was just you'd have a pint after the game, or you know, maybe some people may drink before the game, but we won't go into that. But I know definitely a lot of people I know, if they play Sunday League, that's what they do. They're still, you know, half shred from the night before, and if they've run and played
football,
yeah, pretty much. But yeah, that's part of what it was. But yeah, how do you look back though? Your overall spell at Ipswich, you know, you played over 200 games for the club. So that's a good landmark for you, from making your debut as an 18-year-old to then make over 200 appearances for Ipswich Town.
I've just gone 18-year-old. Can you stress that, please?
Yeah.
18 years and 1 month. Can you repeat the question?
That's okay. No. Lost so 200 plus games for the club from making your debut. Did you ever feel you'll ever get to that point? We'll obviously talk about your other spells soon, but 200 games for the club. Did you ever feel like you'll ever get to that point?
That's the reason I joined Ipswich. Because, like we said before, I knew I'd have a chance getting in the first team a lot earlier than going to somewhere like Man U or one of the London clubs. And luckily, it worked out. So, good decision.
Very good decision in there. Unfortunately, yeah, you did leave, but you say you had to make that decision. And Middlesbrough was your next spell. So another long way away to go. Is that your first option?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, Bruce Riott, he came in for me in the transfer window in February, March, I think it was. But it might have been over the Christmas period back then. And because they were in the top two or three in the division below, division two, I suppose it was. And I turned around and said, I don't want to join them till they're in the division one. And luckily enough, they got promoted. And somebody actually told me, Bruce doesn't like that. Someone turned him down. He won't come back for you in the summer. But he did do. So, yeah, another adventure.
Very much so. Yeah, Bruce, what was Bruce like as a manager? You know, from Bobby Ferguson to John Duncan to Bruce, you know, what was he like as a character? And obviously done a lot in the game himself as well.
You could just look at the way Bruce used to play, and that was him off the field as well. He's very, committed. not just as a player, but then as the manager, that carried on, and he demanded everything from his players. But I got on fine with him.
That's good. And obviously, you had a man who would go on to have a connection with the town later on in his career. Tony Mowbray was in your team. Good old Mogga.
Yes.
What was he like as a teammate back then?
Oh, he's brilliant. I used to live across the road from Mogga.
Yeah.
Literally across the road from each other. And he was great.
That's good. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, obviously he's had his health issues recently as well, but he's back in
management. Yeah, I've noticed.
Great.
Yeah. Mm. I do try, keep trying to send him a message to the club, just wishing that he's all right, and looks like he is now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's doing good. And obviously, yeah, obviously Middlesbrough, you know, through and through as well. Obviously managed them as well. But yeah, relegation, unfortunately. I was doing my research on the final day. So sadly, another relegation on your CV. But yeah, sorry. But yeah, obviously not what you want as a player.
No, it's hard to describe, really. Like you said yourself, you just don't want it. Perhaps it was me following me back. It happened at Ipswich, then it happened at Middlesbrough.
Yeah. Then obviously, I think the second season is another dramatic season. I think you just about stayed up in the Division Two. I think Colin Todd became manager. So obviously Bruce left and Colin
Todd. Yeah, Toddy. He was a good guy as well, Toddy. Good coach. And just a good guy off the field. Someone you could talk to, Toddy. And because obviously he'd done quite a bit in the game himself, so he knew the ins and outs. So it's a good fella, Toddy.
Yeah. So obviously, so sort of dramatic time at Borough, but then you moved to Man City. So how did that come about? And did I hear that you were a Man City fan then? Yeah, of course. Definitely now. Yeah.
Nobody believes me now.
Yeah.
Because they think I'm a glory hunter. But the very first game I went to was with my two aunties up north, and they took me to a City game. So that was me.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'm sure you've been loving it, you know, since. I know this season's not been as good, but obviously winning the treble and, you know, winning many, many titles, it's been great. But yeah, obviously Man City was a different animal back then. But that must have been a great moment as a family as well, you know, to be playing for a team you supported.
Yeah, very much so. Like you just said, team you supported, you had the chance. Even the guys at Middlesbrough, I remember one of them, Colin Cooper, said to me, "You've got to go." So I just turned around and said, "Coops, I've already made my mind up, I'm going." So that's the way it had to be for me. Plus, I was moving back to Lancashire.
Of course.
So it was a little bit easier for my parents to come and watch me play.
Yes.
And my dad was a Man United fan.
Ooh, okay.
He accepted it.
Yeah.
He accepted it.
So how did you become a Man City fan? Is that because that was an opportunity for you just to go to a game? There was a team you could go to?
Yeah. Like I said, my two aunties took me, Geraldine and Sheila, when I was 10 or 11 or something like that. So I remember going to Main Road. And since then, I'd supported them. Thick and thin.
Yeah, very good, very good. And yeah, obviously you returned back to the top flight as well as a footballer, so that must have been another pull as well to go back to the top flight. I think it was Howard Kendall that signed you as well, so another big name in the game.
Yeah, Howard signed me.
Yeah.
And then he left as well.
Yeah.
Got the thing about this, being managers, they sign me but then get rid, move on.
Yeah, and was it so? Obviously, Peter Reid, as you mentioned him earlier as well, because you played against him in that game in the FA Cup. He, of course, comes manager, and it was a very successful time in terms of finishing, I think, fifth in back-to-back seasons. So, really good seasons under Peter.
Yeah, and unfortunately, at the time, I think I'm correct, we weren't allowed in Europe, so we couldn't qualify for the European Cups, which was obviously a bit of a. I'm not going to swear. No, but good times.
Yeah, and just playing at Main Road as a Man City player, must admit, well, can you bring back any memories of just walking out for the first time as a Man City player? So I'm sure you would have played at Main Road before,
yeah.
But in terms of being a Man City player, it must have been a great moment. And would you say your aunties would have been there potentially then as well? Your aunties? Do you think your aunties would have been there to see you, you know, make your sort of Main Road debut?
I don't think they were, actually. No, they weren't.
But obviously, Peter Reid, obviously, you know, done a lot in the game as well at Sunderland. What was he like as a manager? And obviously, you know, a great player as well.
Very much like, obviously, with spending so much time with Howard Kendall, again, it kind of to transmit to the player. So he knew how to run. Obviously, Howard was very successful. So Peter knew how to carry on the same kind of style that Howard had.
And then obviously you go on to leave Man City and then sign for Oldham. Was that just for you, just a move that you needed to make?
Yeah, I don't think I was getting as much playtime at City come then. So, yeah, Oldham came in. And again, you know where it is. It's not too far away, so it's quite an easy move to make.
Yeah, I can imagine. And obviously, Joe Royal was the manager, and it was the first Premier League season as well. So obviously, you know, the Premier League, obviously there was, you know, a first division before this, but obviously the Premier League has become an absolute massive thing. But obviously, that was the first ever season in the Premier League. And obviously, Oldham, one of the founding members, and yeah, Joe Royal, the manager, obviously came on to become England, Ipswich manager. What was he like?
Very good, Joe. He's a very good man manager. Very good. Then he had Willie Donaghy, an ex-Man City player, under him. And I wouldn't say they were chalk and cheese, but, you know, you have that, the good man, the bad one. I wouldn't say Willie was bad, but he was quite enforcing and things like that. But together they worked well, and well, it showed in the success they had.
Yeah, sometimes you need a good cop, bad cop, don't you? But not obviously, you said not bad, but just somebody who just, as you said, enforces just to give you a little bit of, you know, help there. And obviously that season, you guys stayed up on goal difference, so that must have been good. But for you, like as a player, can you remember much about the talk about the Premier League becoming this big thing? You know, Sky Sports and all that.
No, I can't really
recall
too much about it. Obviously, it was a big thing. So, no, can't recall it.
Did you get sort of be able to get more money, do you reckon, then? Was there more like money getting thrown about? And it was still the early days of the Premier League, but like as players, you know, did you feel like you were potentially able to get better contracts because of this TV money?
Yeah, like you just said, but it's all about the TV money. And with Sky coming into it, as you can see now, it's, I wouldn't say stupid money, because if someone offered you X amount of thousands of pounds, you'd take it. Any job, you'd take it. Just so happens that we were lucky enough to play a job, shall we say, that we love doing. So it made it a lot easier because you love playing.
Very much so. And sad mention again, a relegation with Oldham.
It's a trend here, isn't that?
Yeah. But, you know, it's a team game. You know, it's not just you. It's everyone else in the team, you know. And, yeah, Oldham, obviously, fair play to Oldham. They stayed up in that first season, you guys. But then the second season, you know, it's always going to be a hard one when you've got other big teams coming in. But, yeah. Yeah, not what you want on your CV, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just, I was going to say try and learn from it, but you can't really learn from something like that, especially going out the Premiership. Well, I don't think it was called a Premiership, was it?
I think it was the Premiership. I think that's what it's called then. Obviously, now the Premier League. So Premiership back then, and then, yeah, it's now obviously been renamed the Premier League years and years ago. You know, Barclays Premiership, I think it was.
Yes.
Sponsorship. One name I want to mention from Oldham, once again, links to town. He obviously went on to sign for Ipswich from Oldham. That is Ian Marshall. Big Marsh up top, you know, teammate. He was he was a captain, wasn't he?
It was this Gausser, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny Barney.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marsh. He was a good player as well.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
The running joke about him is when he shaved his, you know, when he actually got rid of the Barnet, he then didn't score goals for a while. And some people think maybe it was just the Barnet. Maybe it was the Barnet was making him score goals. But if you want to look into that really deeply, but
yeah.
Not. Then a very interesting move comes about for you. You go to China. How did this come about?
My agent at the time lived in London, and he knew I was anything that came up, and I like my travelling. So obviously you travel a lot when you're a footballer, pre-season, end of season. And this just came up. So I just thought, I'm going to give it a go. And this is back in 97, remember? Totally different than China now.
Yeah, because obviously there was a trend, I think, in the late 2010s, a lot of players were going to China. So you beat them to the trend, really. You were the original, you know, Englishman going to China and, you know, going there. And yeah, it was a different China to it is probably today. But yeah, that must have been a massive, you know, life experience, you know, going to a different country. Did you have an opportunity to learn any of the language, or did you have to just get by with, you know, with a translator or something like that?
I speak a bit now, but I did have the national goalkeeper was our goalkeeper, Ho Tu Lan, and he spoke perfect English. So everything, I roomed with Ho, and he translated everything for me.
That's good. And can you remember just playing in China? What was the standard like? Was it okay? Obviously not as good as the Premier League, but I'm sure you're one of the best players on the pitch.
They were all good players. As you can imagine, they're all very fit.
Yes.
So to actually get into the league, you had to... We went away to a training camp. All the teams in the league, even the national players, in a place called Kuoming. You got 6 weeks of intense training. And at the end of that, you had to pass these fitness tests. One was a 12-minute run. You had to do it in a certain time. I think I missed mine by 60 yards to get there. And then the fullback was the second test, which was, don't know what you want to call it. I call it doggies or shuttles. They're back, which me being a midfield player was quite ideal. And that allowed me to pass there. And then joined up with my teammates.
And yeah, just playing in China, I'm sure that was just something you look back with fondly because, yeah, not many people do it, do they? And, you know, did you just get yourself into the culture as well and just the food and everything like that?
Yeah, you've got to. You've got to understand, if you're going to someone else's country, this is my eyes anyway, you've got to take on their habits, their culture, everything that goes with it, really. And if you can learn the language, then even better.
I have a feeling your parents maybe just went, we're not going to go now. We're not going to go to China to watch you play.
No, they did come.
Wow.
Yeah. I scored my first goal for Guangzhou. My parents' first game.
Wow. Great.
Yeah, they spent, I think, 2 or 3 weeks.
Brilliant.
There.
Yeah, obviously a lot of people, you know, China obviously is such a big country, and you just probably a lot of people, maybe it's a country they would like to go and visit, but maybe don't want to go and visit. But, you know, just, yeah, incredible experience for you. And obviously you go on to move to Australia. Sort of how did that come about? Is that sort of linked to maybe playing in China? Do you think that's just a good sort of move? Because obviously it's sort of that part of the world as well.
I'll tell you the truth, I can't remember how Australia came. No, I think this one was through the PFA. I applied to the PFA about playing abroad, and I got interest from Australia, Sydney, Australia. So wasn't a bad place to be. 200 yards from the beach.
Yeah, I can imagine. What was that experience like then, just being in Australia? You played there for a few years. You're at that age as well where you feel like this was just your perfect way to sort of end your career. Did you feel like you could have, or maybe could have gone and played a bit more, maybe in, you know, in the top lot or second division, but you just maybe didn't have the options?
Yeah, the last thing you said, the option wise wasn't there. So I just, like I said earlier, I didn't mind playing abroad, living abroad. Even though I spent most of the time on my own. It's just a great experience. If you're not going to grasp something like that, then it's pointless going, because you're going to regret it straight away. But fortunately, I didn't.
Yeah. And did you always knew you were going to come back to England? And obviously you played non-league football for a bit, but did you feel like you'd always come back?
The intention wasn't to come back. Intention was obviously being a British colony. I thought it would be quite easy to get a visa out there, but no, that got rejected.
Wow.
Hmm.
Any reason why? Just
I've got a reason.
Okay, we don't have to get into that.
That's fine. It's monetary.
Yeah.
If you don't have so much money, you can't get into their country.
Oh, okay.
Hence, a lot of Chinese people go there.
Mm.
I think you had to have $500,000 in the bank. Back then in 98, 99.
Yeah.
40 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, obviously, yeah, back in England. Did you feel like you were still wanting to play, you know, the football? You
oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And you obviously not played a bit of non-league football.
Yes. And a place not too far away from where we are now. Dagenham.
Yes.
I think they just got promoted to the conference. So I got asked to play for them.
Is that where you met Jane?
No.
It's after his football career.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I didn't say that. I was listening. but yeah, obviously you go and play for Dagenham, I think Billericay and Canvey Island as well. Did you have much plans with what you wanted to do after football?
No, I wasn't one for going into coaching, even though I did actually coach a college team, young under 18s, I think they were, and I loved doing that. But then after that, I can't remember the reason why. I just thought, nah, I'm not going to do coaching anymore. I think somebody let me down. Yes, they did. The chairman at Dagenham, he promised me I could be the next boss. And obviously, I've been to all these other clubs afterwards, lower down the leagues. And then it didn't come to fruition. So I felt a little bit left down by it, or else I probably would have done.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a disappointing moment. And what were your plans though? You know, did you have much you wanted to do? Anything you were looking to do? Well, once again, probably didn't have as much support as you do now in terms of, you know, players coming out of the game.
No, there was nothing. Every day I used to pick up my daughter from school, Francesca, and I got to meet some of the other fathers. And one of them was a surveyor. And he introduced me into the surveying side of things. And then I did that ever since until 2000. Until COVID came along.
Yes. Okay, and then now obviously with your diagnosis, what you up to now? Are you just making sure you're feeling good?
As much as you can feel good.
Yeah.
The boredom gets to me more than anything. Everyone thinks it's great. You don't work. Oh, I'd rather be getting up at 4 o'clock, going to work. So luckily we've got two dogs, keep you busy. And that's it, basically.
Have you been able to go to many games yourself? You know, I know we're hopefully going to link you up to come down to Ipswich Town at some stage soon, but you've been able to go back to, you know, go to watch Man City games?
No, not so much City. I do try if they come to London. Mm-hmm. Recently, we went to watch a Dagenham game, which I quite liked. So, yeah, I'd go anywhere, really.
Yeah, I'm sure you still love your football. Still, you know, you watch.
Well, exactly. That's it. I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
If you love your football, you'll always love your football, and you'll watch anyone.
Yeah, and obviously you've seen Ipswich Town back in the Premier League. I'm sure it's been good. You know, as a former player, seeing you know us have the rise with you know from back to back promotions and all that. What's that like? Been seeing that from afar, and you know, message to the fans right now who you know obviously listen to this podcast, wanting to hear from you, and yeah, obviously Ipswich Town doing okay. We're still you know trying to fight to stay up, but you know just back in the top flight.
Yeah, obviously it's great. They're some fans might not like this. They're kind of my second team. I've got Man City, and then everything else I look out for is Ipswich.
That's fine though, because yeah, it's your boyhood club, Man City, and then Ipswich Town is a team that you became a man in a way. You know, Ipswich Town, you can sort of say brought you up to become a man because of, you know, you joined as a 16-year-old, and then obviously you left as a man and went on to have spells. You know, as we mentioned, you know, Middlesbrough, Man City, Oldham, and China, Australia, come back to England, and you know, full circle. You know, Mark Brennan became, you know, the man you are now. Which has been great, and it's been a really good chat with you, Mark. Any other business? Anything else you want to mention?
No, I don't think so. Any of the players still in the area of Ipswich?
Yeah, I think that's one thing about Suffolk, and obviously it's your town. A lot of players stay, don't they? I think a lot of players, they come here. You know, like George Burley, obviously he's been unwell himself, hasn't he? Unfortunately.
Yeah, I've read about that
area. You know, Mick Mills does. I know Alan Brazil. He's sort of it's still this little bit in the area as well. I think Steve McCall is as well. I think there's a good amount. You know, Mickey Stockwell from obviously from this area. Obviously Simon Milton, obviously from this area as well. So I think it's just the club itself, and even like the players who have played in the say 2000s, 2010s, they all stay here as well because I think they just settle with their families, and that's just what it is. So, did you have you just mentioned one of your daughters there? Were they born in Suffolk or were they somewhere else?
No, Isabella, the youngest one, she was born in Essex. Chloe was born in, that's my eldest one, Manchester. And Francesca was born in Essex.
Okay. So no one in China or anything like that. That would be interesting, you know.
Francesca lives in Amsterdam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with her boyfriend, George. Dutch fella.
Yeah. Shout out to them. On this podcast. But yeah, it's been a pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much. Obviously, once again, to sort of end with, really, obviously, research hopefully will be improving with, you know, with the dementia, because obviously that's a big trend, isn't it, with footballers?
Yeah.
Now I think that's another sort of thing we need to talk about, because you hear literally every day a player is, you know, is diagnosed with it or because of impacts of football. So is that something you know you want to sort of send a message out there?
Oh yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's a game we all loved, but unfortunately, back then the medical diagnostics weren't as good, so they didn't quite understand. Even before my time, when the boys used to have the leather ball, imagine what damage that did to their brains. So I just hope they start looking into it.
PFA are helpful, aren't they?
Yeah. Change has said the PFA are very helpful.
That's good.
Very helpful. Because I didn't think I'd still still receive it.
Okay.
But apparently it goes on for your lifetime.
That's good. Mm. I think that's the thing that's needed for footballers, because that's another thing, you know, at the end of the day, you are human beings. You're not just footballers, you know, you're a thing, you know, fans, you know, love to watch you, love or hate players, but you're still human beings. And yeah, you need support there from, you know, for the rest of your life, because, you know, something like this, you know, will unfortunately affect you long term, won't it, Mark? Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's good that know that you've got support, and obviously Jane, and I'm sure all your family are there to support you.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Especially this one here.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's my taxi driver, cook.
The tech person as well. She's obviously set it up for this interview, making sure that's we
work. Yeah. It's a work laptop.
Okay, that's fine. Well, we'll wrap up then, Jane and Mark. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you, Ross.
To modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.